Good morning. If you belong to the Bubble Club, you can just indicate by raising up your hand so that Hadi can give you just some things to fill so that you can go along with the sermon as I speak this morning. Today, we are looking at an aspect of the Lord's Prayer, which is, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I do not know if you remember our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done. When you divide the Lord's Prayer into two halves, you'll notice that the first half focuses on the Father, His name, His kingdom, His glory. And then we come to give us this day our daily bread. And the focus shifts from the Father to our needs, human need. I'd like someone to read Luke chapter 11 from verse 1. To verse 10.
One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks,
thank you, Linda. I'd like us to look at this point in time just at the word give. I'd like to bring two things out of this word. Give. Inasmuch as this aspect of the prayer focuses on man's needs, you must understand that the word give has something to tell us about the Father. The story we've just read at the end of the Lord's Prayer helped bring out something about the difference between the man who was asleep with his family and the God that we serve. You must understand that it was not until there was much persistence, much shouting, much disturbance that led to the man's response. Now, the God that we serve is very unlike that. We do not serve some kind of deity that has a tight-fisted hand withholding our blessings and wants us to scream and shout and do all sorts of things before he can just release just a trickle of that blessing. The God that we serve is the giver of life. The God that we serve, his generosities know no bounds. This God that we serve is a God that is faithful. He's told us in his word that his tender mercies shall never cease. They shall never come to end. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's disposed to show favor. He's disposed to show love. That is his nature. That is his character. You know, sometimes we have the feeling that you must, yes, battle it through. Yes, there is a place for battling prayers. Yes, there is a place for us to tarry in prayer. But listen, that sometimes has to do with the enemy withholding or stopping our blessing. Like that, like it was in the case of Daniel. But I want to introduce to you a father who is merciful, who is kind. Who wants to meet our daily needs. That's the kind of father that we have. The second thing I want to bring out, apart from God's character, is the fact that we have a relationship with God. You see, I just don't go to anyone in the streets and say, excuse me, can you give me a couple of thousands of pounds? I'd like to fix, you know, the roof, you know, of my house. I don't do that. Why? Because I do not have, a relationship with that person, with the stranger. It will be very, very ridiculous, won't it? Obviously. And it's not likely that you will what? You will get a positive response from that individual. We have a relationship with this God. You must understand, give us this day. You know, it takes a lot of boldness for you to just walk up to someone and say, give me today this amount of money. It tells you, it presupposes that there is a loving relationship that exists between, you know, both parties. For one party to come and say, and make a demand, give us this day our daily bread. My next point I want to bring is, let's focus on the word daily bread. Daily bread. Now, what is bread? In many parts of the world, bread is a staple meal that is used, and it has become synonymous with food in general. Its symbolism goes beyond just that of food to include sustenance of life. Sustenance of life. I would like us to dissect this daily bread into four bits, as is stated, as seen on the screen. The first thing I like to deliberate on is the physical necessities of life. Let me preface this by saying that the word daily bread, you know, has a lot of contention surrounding it. You know, scholars have argued, there have been a lot of debate going on as to what is the meaning of the word daily bread. But let's talk about first the physical necessities of life. I want us to understand as a people and as a church that God has concerns about the physical necessities of our life. God has interest in the things we put on. God, you know, is not the kind of God that is just the God of the spiritual and negates or downplays, you know, the physical. He has what? Interest in our day-to-day, the mundane thing of life. This God has interest in that. When somebody says, Frank, what do you mean? You mean God is interested in the gas for the cooking of the family? Absolutely, yes. God is interested in the gas. You mean he's interested in university's fees for my kids? Yes, he is interested in our school, what? In the education of our kids. He's interested in savings for our retirements. Yes, he's interested in savings for, you mean for even for a good holiday? God is interested in that kind of stuff? Absolutely, yes. These are things that we need. We need to take a break out of the busy routine of life and just spend time with family in a very relaxed environment. God is not against that kind of stuff. God is interested, you know, in the physical well-being of us, of humanity. I hope I'm communicating. But I'd like us to look at the bread of life. What does the bread really mean? What does the bread really mean? Now, if we look, there is a scripture in John chapter 6, verse 26 to 27. Again, I would like us to turn to John chapter 6, verses 26 to 27. And verse 32 as well. And if anybody wants to read, that's fine. John 6, 26 to 27. Thank you. Thank you, Linda, for reading the first. And thank you, Liz, for reading the second passage. Much more than our physical, the physical interpretation of the word, you know, bread, there is a spiritual connotation that is associated with this word. Here in that passage, Jesus rebukes. He rebukes. You know, I'm the crowd. He says, do not labor for food that perish. Yes, food is important. Food is very important. And God is interested in meeting our needs of food sustenance. But if that is the ultimate goal, you know, of an individual, then it's too sad. A lot of people within our society today, you know, I mean, they live, they eat, and they marry. And that's just the purpose of life. You know, somebody once said, you know what? I mean, I aim for what I want. And then everybody else has to fit in. You know, you could see something about the selfishness of this. I have a target, and it doesn't really matter. In other words, he was saying, if I had to trample on you to get to my goal, it doesn't really matter. If I have to knock out some guys, if I have to do some bribes, it doesn't really matter. I have a goal, and everybody else around me is secondary. They just have to align themselves. That's a selfish way of looking at life, isn't it? Give us this day our daily bread. The spiritual connotation of the word bread in that passage is Christ. Christ Jesus is the one that the Father gave to us as the bread of life. So that he that hungers for fulfillment, he that thirsts, you know, there's always a vacuum in the man's heart. And that vacuum will always continue to linger on unless and until that person eats of the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And then my next point is sustenance. Bread for our spiritual well-being. After we've partaken of the bread of life, I mean, there is need for us to, you know, on a daily basis, be nourished. You know, by God's word. There's something about the spiritual nourishment of God's word. Now, if you look at both Matthew and Luke, Matthew says it this way, give us today our daily bread. Luke says, give us each day our daily bread. He doesn't use today. Okay? He doesn't use today. He says, each day our daily bread. As if to stress, you know, the author repeatedly dependency of the person in prayer, you know, to God. There is this thing about, you know, that author reliance on the Father. I believe that Luke wants to stress out. Okay? I mean, something about the daily bread that we must understand. You see, in those days of old, when God miraculously fed the children of Israel, you know, in the wilderness, I mean, manna, he rained down manna from heaven, okay? They were not supposed to keep the manna for that day and use it for another day. An attempt to keep the manna for next week or even tomorrow will lead to the spoilage of the manna. Because God wanted them to know that he was the provider. Yes, I mean, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you should not plan for the future. For if you, somebody says if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Okay? But God wants to bring something about reliance. With the people of Israel, they had this. It was all about their confidence. It was all about, hey, let's go back to Egypt. You know, listen, we miss the cucumbers of Egypt. We miss the, you know, the wilderness. It was so nice. We were rather slaves. Yes, but at least we were being fed with, you know, the Egyptian food. And they were satisfied, you know, with that kind of lifestyle. They were physically out of Egypt, but mental-wise, they were bound with an Egyptian worldly mindset, if you like. And God was trying to strip them of their mindset. And God was trying to teach them, hey, listen, I want you to trust me for your daily bread. You see, we all need a fresh revelation of God's bread in our life. On a day-to-day basis, you can be on the mountaintop yesterday rejoicing, free from sin and guilt, and you are happy clappy. And today, if you neglect God's word, you can be plunged into the depths, you know, of sin and be trapped, you know, by its consequences thereby. So it's not about, oh, I'm going to pray all my prayers. I used to think so when I was much younger. God, why don't I just pray, you know, for the next month? And I'm going to pray and just bank those prayers. And I don't have to do anything. You know, yes, at least I can just tap from the bank account and make use of those, you know, that sort of stuff. But no, there is need for a day-to-day dependency, you know, on God's word. Oh, I don't know how many of you want the faithfulness of God's word. Yes, I want to rely on the faithfulness on God's word in my life on a day-to-day basis. Yes, I need God's tender mercy. You say, Frank, you need God's tender mercy. Yes, I do. As an assistant pastor, get angry sometimes, you know. Sometimes things just get on your nerves. And you become, you know, my goodness, you want to flip out and you want to react. But thank God his mercies doesn't go cold or it doesn't become stale. The Bible says his tender mercies are new. He renews them every morning. So we can, oh, thank God, I can just come into his tender mercies and say, God, I need grace. Give me more patience. Help me to conduct myself. Help me to reflect Christ. We all do, don't we? Maybe I'm the only one who does. I need prayers. Trust me. Praise God, someone. You know, so we need to rely on God for our day-to-day bread. This is a powerful petition that expresses trust and dependency on God. Trust and dependency on God. And then, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse, you know, 2 and 3, we see the scripture that says, man shall not live by bread alone. We see Jesus quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, when he was going through temptation, okay? When he was being tempted by the evil one. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, let's look at this. This is Jesus. I'm talking about the one that had divine blood running through his bones. I'm talking about Jesus, the one that walked on water, that raised the dead. The one, oh my goodness, through him, all that we see have been created. I'm talking about Jesus. But Jesus is being confronted with the enemy in the desert. Remember, the children of Israel were in the desert, you know, and when God was trying to strip them of stuff. And Jesus now is being confronted with the enemy before he launched out into his earthly ministry. And the enemy said, why don't you just take these stones and just turn them into bread? Now, look at it, bread. Why don't you just, I mean, was it impossible for Jesus to do? Was that an impossible thing? No. If you think I'm going too fast, just give me the signal, you know, like the sealists would do. Yes, just give me the signal. I want you to, you know, we're friends, aren't we? Good. I didn't forget. It's the temptation we're talking about. Good. Oh, yeah, I've forgotten. Don't laugh too much or else I'll forget, trust me. But he responded. Jesus easily could have done the miracle. But even in that situation, where pride could have kicked in to say, of course, I'll show you who I am. I have that power. I have the ability. Obviously. But Jesus understood that the Father, he understood something about the Father's will. And in prayer, you know, we must make an attempt to, one, get to know what God's will is, and then try as much as possible to submit to God's will. He understood what God's will was all about. He knew he had to go through that temptation. You know, I work, you work, and it's very easy, you know, for us to just rely on our work, you know, as the source of our provision. Yes, I work. Obviously, I mean, I have a very good brain. I think. If I didn't think or go, obviously, I mean, I wouldn't get what? I wouldn't get paid. But you see, there's something about God's will that supersedes that. Yes, God does provide for us by making available work. Just think about the strength, your breath alone. Just think about when one just nerve strikes in your body and how difficult it is. It will be for you to work, for you to walk from here to the door. Okay? So God provides, yes. There's something about God's will and our will. And we must be very careful that our will, for the most part, is opposed to God's will or is out of line with God's will. So there is a need for us to submit our will to the Father's will. And when we do so, you know, there is something about that inner joy and peace and fulfillment that one gets once you discover, you know, God's will, you know, for your life. Now, I don't want to dwell on that. I want to give us the fourth thing, which is to give us the future bread for now. Give us tomorrow's bread, the future bread for now. There is a sense in which Luke might be saying, give us the bread of tomorrow for today. This has some eschatological meaning. It just means end time. You know, sometimes when you come from Bible school, you just want to bamboozle, you know, the congregation with some big words. So you have to make sure you chip in two or three, if you know what I mean. It has some eschatological meaning, and people say, wow. But please, I mean, don't be impressed by that. The point here is, you know, for the future, there is a particular day that the scripture has spoken about. There is this coming day. There is this day when God's vengeance and God's judgment, you know, will come upon the earth. And those who are in relationship with this God, those of us who are Christian, those of us who trust Him, a time will come when there is going to be that great reversal. And you see, evil is going to be replaced by good, you know, throughout. And if you want more details about this, you can listen online to the sermon that Graham, a minister, preached there, you know, last week Sunday from Isaiah chapter 60. You know, just something glorious about, you know, that day. There is a day. You see, this bread, just this bread, is not just for the here and now. It's not just for today. But there is something about hope that this brings. You see, I may not understand this. I know God is a generous giver. No one can talk me out of it. I know God, you know, has provided. I know God is a healer. I know God is wonderful. He's gracious. He's good. He's kind. His loving mercies are tender. They are tender and they endure forever. That's the kind of God that we serve. But I can tell you also that I just don't understand why is it that sometimes, you know, He allows us. Yes, He has told us to expect suffering, but sometimes He allows us to go through stuff. And I wish it wasn't so, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. There is something about hope, even though my circumstances might sound contradictory. It may look like I'm in the pit. But there is something about, if you have an understanding of that future bread, then it helps you. If you have an understanding of, hey, listen, you see, there is something, there is a day. Yes, listen, I loved her, but, you know, he got taken away, and I just can't understand it. But if you understand something about, hey, give me this, tomorrow's bread for today, there's something about future. There is something about hope. There is something when we will be united together again. There is something there when all the evil of this world, when all the filth, the garbage, you know, of this world is going to be rolled away, and nothing but peace and righteousness, it shall reign. There is a time that is coming. There is something about the future, you know, that is in this. We get a sense of the hope for the future. Our daily bread is not just some regular bread of freshness and God's faithfulness, but also it includes the future bread of tomorrow, breaking into the present, having a taste of the future life. You know, we normally call it this way, the now and the not yet. But having a taste of what is to come, here and now, when God feeds us, you know, with the daily bread. Having a sense of expectation that one day we will see him face to face. But then someone asks the question, if the Lord is omniscient or omniscient, depending on the school of thought you want to go by, he knows all things. Why should we then ask in the first place? Doesn't Matthew tell us that when you pray, do not pray like the heathen does, for they think with their much speaking, they shall be heard. They don't have to pray. You don't have to pray like that because our Heavenly Father knows our every need. Now, if he knows our every need, he's not confined, he's not limited or restricted, why do we then have to ask him? Yes, I do believe that there are times when I haven't asked God for a thing, and I really desire that thing, and God really came on. You know, God provided for me. And I'm sure there are people here who can say more or less the same thing. Can I have some nodding in the house, please? Yes. At least one person agrees with me. There are times when, you know, I didn't pray. I was so busy, perhaps, you know, preoccupied with the Lord's business. So much so that God was taking care of my business. If you make God's business your business, it's likely that he's going to make your business his business. Matthew 6:33 says it this way, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. You know, there are people going around chasing this. God, I want this, and chasing this, and battling for that, and they've neglected the kingdom. Whereas, you know, the Father's heart sometimes in delaying you, in not responding immediately, is to say, hey, get your priorities right. He's the God that grants us, the Bible tells us, the desires of our hearts. But let me qualify that. He grants us the desires of our hearts. 1 John 5:14 says it this way. This is the confidence that we have. That whatever we ask for, that is in accordance with his will, he heareth us. Now, you look at that. Some people take that scripture out of context and say, oh, the Bible says, whatever we ask for. God, I need a jet. How wonderful it would be for me to just fly home to mommy, you know, for the weekend on Friday and come back on Saturday evening. Yes, God, I need a jet. I need a jet. I need a jet. Whatever you ask for, look at what it says. God heareth us. But it qualifies the statement by saying, according to his will. Now, you see, we can all ask for things. But the reason why sometimes we ask and we do not get according to James is because we ask amiss. When we ask, if you understand, give us this day our daily bread within the context of the Lord's Prayer. And if you go back to our Father first, you know, and first of all, in your mind, have an understanding of, hey, I have a relationship. Now, if you do not have that relationship, you are not qualified to say, give us this day our daily bread. There has to be a relationship that you get by putting one's trust in Jesus. That's the first part, relationship. And when you understand that he's your Father and you have been given by his Spirit, the Spirit of sonship, you have part of his, you have his divine nature, you know, on the inside of your life, you know, there's something of a boldness that comes out of you. The writer of Hebrews emphasizes this by saying, come to the come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for receive mercy and find grace in times of. He said, come, you know, boldly. Come boldly. Why? Because we are in covenant. We are in relationship with Him. So I can ask because of that relationship. And then we go down, hallowed be your name. Now, not hallowed be my name. It's not about my name. It's about His name. You see, we come to God in prayer and we say, oh, wow, thank you, Father. You are, you, thank you. You, although you are supreme, you are great, you are the transcendent, the self-existent one. Thank you that you sent Jesus. And because I've put my trust in Jesus, you have accepted me into the beloved. I've now become a son, a child. You know, I have that bonus. And because of that, daddy, like just like a three-year-old, we come, daddy, 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 mommy, mommy, mommy. You just have that faith and just walk into your father's presence. It doesn't matter, you know, if you beat mama yesterday, you know, you can still come back to mama and cry because that's your parent. That's if there's that loving relationship. You say, well, Frank, I did something bad yesterday. I don't want to come into God's presence. Kids don't do that. We can learn from the kids. You can discipline them and they run back to you because they know there is something about love. I'm talking about a loving home, a loving atmosphere. There's something about love. Hallowed be your name. Oh, I understand relationship is my father. You know, I'm not just a creator. I'm a creature. God, I'm creator. Relationship. It surpasses that. It's a son-father relationship. Yes, I can go boldly. If I've done wrong things, I can go boldly and be true and be penitent and say, God, forgive me. I mean, I failed you. And let it come from your heart. And he gives you mercy. You know, for that thing that you've done. You need grace to embark on a task. He gives you grace. That's the God who we're talking about. But listen, if you understand, give us this day in the context of hallowed be His name. Now, if I'm asking for something, it has to be, you know, in line with what? Honoring Him. It has to be something about glorifying Him. It's not about self. You know, when self sits on the driver's seat of one's life, then what happens is you can't just go asking, or else everybody will just be asking and there's going to be all sorts of chaos. Because I've been in prayer meetings where people say, Father, I want you to kill that person. That person, you know, stepped on my nerves for so much now. So, Father, kill them, kill them, kill them, kill them. And people are shooting each other and killing each other in prayer. And I'm like, wow. How can a normal child go to daddy and say, oh, he ate my cake, would you kill him? Does that glorify His name? I'm asking, I take it within the context of your kingdom come. It's my desire, as I ask, to see that His kingdom come. Is that the thing? Is it about His kingdom coming? Yes, God, I want you to bless me. Oh, how I wish you could just surprise me with £15,000. But what is the purpose? Is it just for self-glorification? Or do you have at the back of your mind, you've seen needs that you want to respond to? You've seen lives, you want to raise up a structure and be a blessing to lives. God, yes, supplies our needs. But we must understand that He doesn't supply what we think we need, and He doesn't really supply our wants. He supplies our needs. That's what the Bible tells us. He supplies our needs. So ask within the context, within that context. And the Bible says, whatsoever you ask for, okay, He heareth us. As long as we are asking in confidence, we have an understanding of the relationship, we know that it is there to exalt His name, and it's not about our name. We have a desire for His kingdom to come. And then what happens is, as you go to God in prayer, God takes your will, your aspirations, and then what happens? He begins to what? Exchange them with His aspirations and His will, so much so that when you pray and you begin to ask, God begins to honor the prayers of certain people. Who boldly, you have that relationship. They've died to self. Yes, and this is on a day-to-day basis, we have to die to self. But until we come to that part, sometimes some of the things we yearn for will not come to pass. I want to say to you this morning, have you stopped asking God? Have you stopped asking God? What's your viewpoint about prayer? Is this as a result of some unanswered prayers on your prayer list or at the back of your mind that has caused you not to believe God again? Disappointments and frustration. Do we just see prayer as just a mere religious exercise where we just say grace over the meal, you know, and maybe come to business meetings and just say it at the starting of it, but I mean, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really inform what we... Is it just said, you know, as just part of the tradition? Do we have the understanding that the Father's heart, He takes delight in us coming to Him? Why do we have to ask? Someone says, why ask? He knows our every need. It's like you having a son that comes to you when he's just in need and doesn't want to spend time with you, doesn't want to be in your company, doesn't want to communicate with you, but anytime he has a need, he rushes to you and say, Daddy, I need another 5,000 pounds. I need to get another car. What kind of relationship? Wouldn't you feel hurt or wounded if your child was to just use you in that manner? God wants us to, it's that relationship on that day-to-day basis where God yearns to hear his child come in his presence and say, Father, and the Father smiles. You don't need to know all the vocabs in the world. You don't need to come and put up a show. Sometimes when it's time for us to, you can sense it that there is tension. We don't want to pray because there are some people that are gifted prayers. They know they have the right diction and everything. And thank God for those lives. They're blessed. But I just don't want to pray and start, you know, stuttering and mixed my tenses out, because at the end of the day, that will become the talk of the day. Or I don't want to come to prayer meeting and probably as I'm pouring my heart out and then somebody might just pick it up and no. You just want to come into God's presence. The Bible says, shut yourself. You go into your closet. Privately, yes, there is time for private, but you can come and shut yourself. It doesn't matter what people think or feel. You just want to be real in God's presence. You just want, that's your daddy we're talking about. Doesn't really matter. Just want to pray from you, because that's your daddy. That's your father. That's your father. Ask. So God really wants that, you know, there is that ongoing dependency. Give us this day our daily bread. He says something about the one we direct our prayers to. That he's the one that is disposed to show favor. He's the one who provided himself on the cross of Calvary to meet man's greatest need. As a result of which he left, you know, because of this, he left the portals of glory, laid aside his majestic nature, took upon himself the form of a servant, went to the cross, and his body was broken, you know, on the cross of Calvary for our redemption. It didn't stop there. He went into, you know, the depths of hell, and he brought out those saints that were held bound. He resurrected and went into heaven. And he says, anyone who believes in me, though he dies, shall have everlasting life. And so every time we break bread together and share communion, we celebrate the ultimate gift of God's bread of life in the person of Jesus, giving to us humanity and on all humanity. It may well be that we lack, we suffer, we become sick, we experience all sorts of, you know, deprivation. We must never lose sight of one thing. That the bread of life. If you lose sight of anything, don't lose sight of one thing. That the bread of life from heaven in the person of Jesus was shared for you and for me. And so we may struggle daily with the experiences that life brings us. always have in the midst of it all that there is hope for tomorrow. A time will come when God will wipe away your tears. When he will calm all those fears. There's something about his peace for us now. There's something about God's healing for us now. Don't get me wrong. But a time is coming. And I'm sure we all look forward to those days. Whatever it is, Jesus has victory over death, hell, and the grave. Give us this day our daily bread. Pray with understanding. Whenever you pray, give us this day our daily bread. And Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we bless you. And Lord, we ask, oh God, in Jesus' name, you will help us, Lord, to delight in prayer. For we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Amen.